Welcome in to another new AMP podcast. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose, news editor with the AMP publications team. As some of our loyal listeners may recall, we had a roundtable forum last fall titled Sustainability and the Future of AMP. Sandy Williamson of Williamson Integrity Services and Cal Chapman of Chapman Engineering were the guests, and we should note that Sandy is a past president of NACE International, and he's also actively involved in a leadership capacity within AMP. A lot of that discussion from last fall was centered around AMP's new sustainability task force, as well as activities related to sustainability that were on the agenda for the 2024 AMP Annual Conference and Expo in New Orleans. Now that conference is complete, we're revisiting that subject with an update on key takeaways related to sustainability, and we're also going to take a look at what's on the horizon for the remainder of this year and the foreseeable future. To help me do that, I'm thrilled to welcome Sandy back to the podcast, and this time he's joined by Don Eaton. Don has more than 30 years of industry experience related to corrosion measurement and management, and she also has played a key role in the creation and development of this sustainability task force. So, Don, since you're the newcomer, let's start with you. Why don't you introduce yourself a bit more to our audience and tell us about your career journey to this point?
Well, thank you very much, Ben. It's a real pleasure to be here today. So I kind of like my story, if you will. You know, as you look at corrosion, you find that people have fallen into corrosion engineering and maintenance and these kind of things from various different routes. But mine was really quite direct. And I would say that my interest in corrosion first arose from a special research project in my chemistry class during my sophomore year of high school. And back in those days, research was done by visiting the reference section of the local town library to read from books and journals. So none of the online opportunities that we have today. But what I learned from reading about corrosion back then was that it is something that costs a lot of money. That is still true today. It is very disruptive to industry, and it's unlikely to ever be entirely eradicated. That was so exciting. But my thought was, wouldn't it be so tremendous to try? And then later on, after my bachelor's degree in chemistry, I moved forward to a master's in corrosion science and engineering. And the past 32 years of my career, as you said, have been largely focused on corrosion measurement and management through monitoring, cathodic protection and coatings, but I've been more on the commercial side of that. And along the way, I have been absolutely thrilled to volunteer with NACE and with AMP throughout that 32 years. I've had various leadership roles. I've authored papers. I've been involved in various things. And presently, I am the vice chair of the Technical Program Committee, and I'm chairing the Sustainability Task Force, and very excited to do so. And that's me.
Thank you so much for your work over the years. We greatly appreciate it. You've meant a lot to the development of not just the Sustainability Task Force, but really the association at large. We appreciate you and I'm looking forward to picking your brain a bit more over the next few minutes. Sandy, same question to you. For anyone unaware or perhaps hasn't listened to our podcast from the fall, tell us a little bit about what your career arc has been like.
Okay, thanks, Ben. And again, yes, it's great to join you on this podcast to get some more of the word out about material sustainability. So my background includes being a professional engineer and technical specialist for about 44 years in corrosion materials and inspection, mostly related to oil and gas production, some offshore, onshore gas plants, et cetera, and pipelines. But more recently, I've turned my hand to the geothermal and lithium extraction industries, which hold a lot of interest for me. My main mission really has been to promote awareness of technologies in corrosion, and more recently, material sustainability and material stewardship. And really the driver behind that is the tremendous cost of corrosion globally. And with these sustainability and stewardship efforts, we've had we have a tremendous opportunity to reduce that cost. And I guess as a sidebar, I really enjoy training and I like to mentor junior corrosion professionals and materials and corrosion engineering in the industry sectors that I play in. So I've been pretty active in the integrity space, writing corrosion control documents and inspection support, hands-on operations and so on, and a lot to do with materials selection. But as you noted earlier, my involvement with NACE has really been 44 years as well. And I've had the opportunity to be involved with quite a few regional conferences, international conferences, symposia, and working with people like Don and others on standards. And so in the past, as you might expect, mostly now I'm, you know, with oil sands corrosion or CO2 carbon capture, maybe some of the newer things, and now geothermal energy and material sustainability. And I had the pleasure of being the NACE president back in 16-17. And as I mentioned, I like to teach, so I'm teaching the refinery corrosion course.
Excellent. And thank you for your service over the years as well. You've meant a great deal to obviously NACE, but now AMP as well. We appreciate you and everything that you're doing as well. All right, so moving on to sustainability related topics. Let's start with why sustainability is so important to each of you. I want each of you to share, if you could, some of the ways your career journeys have touched on that mission. Just give us some background about the overlap of your careers with sustainability and why, of course, in recent months and years, you've taken on the mission to get involved with the task force. Dawn, we can start with you.
Thank you, Ben. So I would say that every project and product that I have been connected with really has had an element of asset management and reliability. Those were the kind of buzzwords back then, but really touch points towards sustainability all along the way. With the corrosion monitoring, for example, the focus was on detecting whether the form of corrosion was general or localized. And if it was localized, determining the actual mechanism. And by that, I mean, was it stress corrosion cracking or pitting and so on, and how that could be related to process changes. So the ultimate goal was to predict the occurrence of the most damaging mechanisms so that the processes could be controlled on a corrosion-based integrity operating window. And, you know, it's quite a lot to take in thinking about that if you've not been connected into it, but kind of makes eminent sense to be able to do that from a material sustainability perspective. And then the cathodic protection and coatings work, those often work hand in hand to enable the longest, safest operating life of the equipment and structures. And with the improvements that we've had in technology, today's new build plant, both offshore and onshore, can really enjoy a much longer design life expectation. So 50 years and beyond is certainly not unusual, while not breaking the CapEx bank or really committing massive OpEx budgets for maintenance. And we need to think of those two areas, of course. And particularly in the case of remote and dangerous operating conditions, such as you might experience offshore, there really is tremendous benefit to the operator to be able to manage unmanned facilities remotely and have minimal maintenance need. So sustainability improvements are realized everywhere in minimizing materials losses, rework, maintenance, reducing personnel risk, optimizing production while preventing those unforeseen emissions and extending asset life. So much wrapped up in that one small word, sustainability.
Sandy, same to you.
Yeah, so as Don said, pretty much every project and product that I've been connected with has also been related to material sustainability, although we might not have thought about it quite at that time. And so now, as many of our members of the association realize, AMP, which is formerly NACE and SSPC, we've always been in the business of protecting infrastructure, no matter which industry we're involved with. So corrosion management, sustainability, they're always there. And so it's a narrative type of thing to think about. On a personal note, I started talking about sustainability and material sustainability with the NACE Board of Directors when I was acting as president back in 2016. And I took the opportunity at that time to use the impact study, which had just come out, to further promote corrosion management and really how closely it's related to material sustainability. So when the impact study was released, as I mentioned, in 2016, it really demonstrated very clearly that there's an enormous cost associated with corrosion. And therefore, to underline the importance of having a sound corrosion management program to protect our assets and infrastructure. And the study further outlined how a sound corrosion management program made economic sense. So economic evaluation tools were included in the study to help people understand that. And interestingly, I just picked up the Materials Performance magazine recently, and there was a really interesting article by Jerry Frankel and Mariana Iannuzzi. And what they looked at was a slightly different narrative, although complementary. And that was quantifying the carbon footprint of steel corrosion. In other words, it showed the large effects that corrosion has historically had on the environment. So certainly they recognized the cost point of view, but they also said, well, hang on a second, let's look at the carbon footprint that everybody likes to talk about nowadays. And if we can manage steel corrosion better, we're going to help reduce that carbon footprint. So for both issues, whether it's economics or the environment, corrosion management has a very large impact. And in both issues, we need to show how our association and its members have been and continue to be good material stewards.
All right, I want to inquire about the Sustainability Task Force specifically. And Sandy, I asked you about this in the fall, so I'm going to let Don cover it this time. Can you walk us through why that task force was put together and what are some of the things that have occurred thus far?
Absolutely. Thank you, Ben. So this really arose from the keen interest that the AMP board expressed in developing a sustainability mission for the association. And they asked the Technical Program Committee to form a task force for that purpose. And here we are. So in assembling the members of the task force and really finding out more about everyone's connection with sustainability in their current and previous work and in their volunteering, it really became clear that the group has much to contribute in gathering of information, liaising with other organizations globally, assisting the development of an AMP material sustainability standard that was already underway, but helping to bring that to fruition sooner, and bringing sustainability into the conversation at the AMP annual conference. And that was done this year, 2024, through a one-day sustainability symposium and forum that was championed by Sandy here and also Elaine Bowman.
Exactly. And that's where Sandy comes into play, because he was chair of that Monday, March 4th sustainability symposium and forum, really informative day about a month ago at the AMP annual conference in New Orleans. So Sandy, I know we only have a few minutes on the podcast, so you're certainly not going to be able to cover everything, but just speaking at a high level, what were some of the activities that took place on the ground at conference, and what were some of the key takeaways related to the task force and sustainability at large?
Yeah, so we had two main activities that involved sustainability on the Monday of conference. Firstly, in the morning, we featured six technical presentations, peer-reviewed papers in a symposium entitled Implementing Successful Material Sustainability and Material Stewardship Practices. And the papers were well received with some great questions and answers after each presentation. And those papers will be made available, as you probably know, as part of the conference proceedings. So I certainly encourage people and our listeners to take a closer look at each paper. So we didn't want to just have a morning symposium with the technical papers. So in the afternoon, we actually had a forum and a panel discussion. And there we had the opportunity to invite six different speakers to give some shorter presentations. And you know that forum was actually also recorded. So I understand it's going to be available to be heard at a later date. So to kick off the forum, we were delighted to have Alan Thomas, our CEO, start the forum with his thoughts on the importance of material sustainability. Then next, we had Hongwei Wang, who was leading the SP21466 committee that prepared the AMP standard on material sustainability. And Hongwei gave an overview of the standard, kind of walked through it fairly quickly. But nonetheless, it's going to be a very important piece for us, this standard. And we're expecting that it's going to be published very, very soon. As I said, it's going to be an important building block for moving forward with material sustainability projects. We also had, in our forum, we had some representatives from the World Corrosion Organization and ASTM present their viewpoints, which were all very complementary to what we're doing at AMP. And I think it's very clear we can work together with other associations where appropriate to improve the awareness and importance of corrosion management and material sustainability. So it's not just our members. But also we want to get that message out to the decision makers and the policy makers and business and government. And I know that's another part of Alan's mission as CEO, that's advocacy.
So in Alan's remarks leading off that forum session, he really spoke to the need to find one focus area for AMP membership as it pertains to sustainability. I'm going to read a partial quote from him in those remarks. "We need to think about the practical side. What is it that I can work with staff and our volunteers around the world to potentially move the needle and make a measurable difference? Help me and help your committee and the board of directors find out what that is. If we can all agree on one focus area that our membership can uniquely make a difference in, then I promise you, you will have my full support and I will help get the results for you. If you pick the horse, I'll ride it." So with that in mind, is there a sense yet for what that area might be? What is the optimal messaging moving forward?
Well, I think I would say that, you know, that is such a tremendous goal and a wonderful commitment from Alan and greatly appreciated. And we want to take that on board as quickly and efficiently as we can. But I think it's also fair to say that, you know, we're fairly soon after conference here, so the topic will be under discussion with the task force. But initial thoughts might include developing a contextual definition of material sustainability to provide relevant information and resources to all AMP members. And that would include consultants, design engineers, construction workers, operators, facility owners, and every one of the contributing functions that make industry and infrastructure work. And that would be intended to inform and enable without being prescriptive and without being limited to any one particular industry methodology or discipline. So kind of a guideline for walking the walk as well as talking the talk.
Sandy, same to you. What's your perspective on the path forward?
Well, I agree with Don. We've got a great cross-section of people in our sustainability task force, and it's probably a little bit premature to sort of pick that one horse, if you will, as Alan put it. But I think nonetheless, it's really important that we pick the one horse eventually because of the idea, like, if everything's important, nothing is. So some focus here. So for now, I think, you know, really we should promote the general awareness of our membership through reading that standard that's about to come out from SB 21466. And as I mentioned, it's going to be the next short while, and that's going to really help. It's an easy read. It's got lots of elements in it, as Hongwei showed. But it's got some good stories at the back, some kind of case histories to highlight some of the concepts. So I think it's a good starting point for our members. That's really, while it's, you know, it's not necessarily the horse, if you will, but it's something I'd really promote.
Yeah, it doesn't have to necessarily be the horse. It's just, what's the areas of emphasis? What's the starting point? And I agree, that's a logical one to start from in terms of concentrating your efforts in the near term. With that in mind, I want to shift our discussion to what's next for the task force and really for the broader sustainability push within AMP and I suppose the industry at large as well. Is there anything that you all are watching for as far as initiatives, new technologies? What's on the horizon over the remainder of 2024, the years ahead? Just give us your general outlook if you could. And Don, again, we can start with you.
Thank you. So, you know, I'm kind of taken with what Sandy was just saying about information sharing, case histories, that kind of thing. And everybody can see a lot of that going on, that kind of information sharing within the technical committee. So the technical program committee continues to forge ahead with our existing technical committee so that they can discuss and share technical information across all industries and corrosion management areas. But specific topics that highlight sustainability presently would include things like the use of artificial intelligence and robotics, materials needs and experience for hydrogen as an energy source, and then also carbon capture utilization and storage. I mean, these are some of the topics that really have people very excited right now, as well as the traditional case histories and, you know, just generally sharing information around all of the technical communities on how do we solve our corrosion and materials problems, how do we get the best out of our coatings and what have you. So we've seen new technical communities of interest starting up throughout the year, and information on all of those can, of course, be found on the amp.org website. But really hot on the heels of this year's success at conference, we certainly plan to hold a future sustainability symposium and forum during the next annual conference in 2025. We're definitely excited to gear up for that.
Excellent. Sandy, is there anything you wanted to add to that?
Yeah, just a quick one. Don mentioned the technical communities that are very active in the technical communities of interest, or TCIs. And I'd just add that we also have participation in from a very strong research community or several research committees within AMP, because they also have an interest in sustainability. I referenced one earlier in this podcast, and you know, Jerry Frankel and his associates and so on. So we don't want to forget, obviously, the research committee and the committees that are out there and how they sort of fit into some of these projects. So I'm looking forward to more publications and forums from that community within AMP.
For anyone listening who wants to get more involved, how can they do that? Can you provide some contact information for how someone can potentially get more involved to help out the task force or potentially participate or learn more about any other sustainability initiatives at the association level?
Yeah, absolutely. So anyone out there who's interested in finding out more about either the sustainability task force or the AMP technical program, finding your place, your committee that you want to connect into, everyone is invited to drop us a line, please, at technicalprogram@amp.org. All of those messages come through to the leadership of that that committee, and we will be delighted to hear from every one of you.
And then as far as the two of you, I know you're both on LinkedIn, but beyond that, if someone wanted to reach out, what's the best way to do that? And I guess let's consider this our conclusion. If there's one message that you want to give to our listeners, our members, people in the industry that are listening, what would you tell them about this task force and about the sustainability push within AMP? Anything that we have not covered already that you want to leave them with before we close out the podcast? Sandy, we can start with you this time.
Yeah, thank you, Ben. I would just emphasize to them that, as we've talked about in this podcast, as the corrosion professional, you are really practicing sustainability, and even more specifically, material sustainability. And just think of your job with that sort of set of glasses on, or through that lens, if you will, that as you talk to people, that you have an elevator pitch, or wherever you are, you should be very proud that you are doing something with respect to sustainability and fighting corrosion. And I think that's the key message and narrative. I know Alan is strong in advocacy, and I know there's a legislative day coming up in Washington where that message will be carried to some of the, you know, the decision makers there. But we also want to think about the international community as well. And that perhaps is one of the focus areas we can start talking more with him again. I don't know that that's the horse we want to ride, but advocacy. However, how do we get in front of our decision makers to make them aware that we are really good corrosion or material stewards, I guess? That's really what I think we could spend some time on in the future.
And as far as reaching out to you, Sandy, is LinkedIn a good way if someone wants to inquire?
Yeah, LinkedIn is fine. I'm pretty active on that. Yeah.
That's good. And you're based in Canada, correct?
In Calgary, yeah.
That's what I thought. Yeah, I really want to underscore before we close out, I should have done this in the introductions, but you know, this is not just a U.S. mission. You mentioned the Advocacy Day, but you all both have plenty of international experience. So I think that's useful to point out that we're not just talking about America. It's about the world at large. So Dawn, if you could, contact information for you, as well as parting shots for our listeners and anyone that might be on the fence about getting involved.
Yeah, sure. Anyone who is on the fence, please don't be. I would say that, you know, for my 32 years involved with the organization, for Sandy, I'll speak for him and say for his 44 years, you know, we have really put so much in, but we have so much coming back to us in all of the wonderful things that we've been able to learn, the amazing people we've been able to connect with. This is just a gift that keeps on giving. So, you know, if you're hesitant at all about being involved, continuing to be a member of AMP, if you don't know your way around, if you would like to know your way around, please do drop us a note to that particular email address, technicalprogram@amp.org. We will be delighted to connect you into the groups that can help you. And with respect to sustainability, I would say that every company out there has some thought of what sustainability means for them, what it means for their business, what it means for their customers, what it means for their staff. And it will be very helpful for us to hear those stories. So if you are able to share information with us or point us to, you know, sustainability write-ups or anything that you think have really resonated with you, something that you may have taken to your manager to say, hey, this is what the other company is doing. You know, please share that information with us because we can all learn. And as we go through this sustainability journey with AMP, we really need to know what everyone out there is looking to do because that helps us best shape the information that we can share back with you, the standards that we develop and all those things. And speaking of the global connections, that is so right, Ben. We really are reaching out globally through our technical program committee to reach out to everybody, every country around the world, wherever you happen to be. There are always corrosion issues, matters that people need to be concerned with. But the things that are going on around the world outside of the US may sometimes be different from what we're dealing with here. So please do get involved. Get involved in some of the technical communities of interest. Share what is important for you in your region and share the sustainability journey with us globally as well. Thank you.
And from looking at your LinkedIn and also listening to your accent, you grew up and went to school in the UK, correct?
I certainly did. Absolutely. Yes. And LinkedIn is also a good place to connect with me on an individual level. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Just wanted to underscore that even within our three-person podcast, we've got global representation today. Obviously, myself, I'm from Houston, Sandy from Calgary, and Dawn has plenty of UK ties over her distinguished career and, well, your life before your career as well. So on this issue and certainly beyond everything association level, we want to be global. And so I think our guests today hopefully underscore how important that is. All right. So with that, we'll bring this to a close. Excellent insight today from Dawn Eden and Sandy Williamson. If you want more resources from us here at AMP or our publications within the association, just visit amp.org, codingsformag.com, or materialsperformance.com. And when you're at those publication websites, once you search for the sustainability tag, you should be able to find a number of related articles. All right, that will do it for today. For Dawn and Sandy, I'm Ben Dubose. As always, thanks so much for listening, and we'll be back soon with another new episode.